Well, good evening tonight. Welcome to Calvary Fellowship Monument for Saturday, June 13th. I'm George Sweat, and I'll be with you this evening. And I am so privileged to be here. Be prepared next week to get back into Malachi with Pastor Tony, and we will continue through the book of Malachi. I'm just so pleased that I can be here with you this evening to share from the Word of God and a good message that the Lord has given to me. And I thank you all for joining in this evening. And it's going to be a great night. We've had a little rain here this afternoon. Gave it a little freshness. I just took a little walk a few minutes ago and cooled things off nicely. And it's just always nice to smell what it smells like after a rain and to see how green and the flowers and all the stuff that's going on and how God has truly blessed us. I hope that the women are getting involved with the ladies' book club that's on Thursdays with Lisa Leidenberger and over at Kathy Miller's house. And if you need information on that, contact Lisa or Kathy, or you can contact myself on that, and we can get you the information you need to be a part of that women's book club on Thursdays. So I just want to remind everybody they can be involved still, even though we're socially distancing, and that's why we're doing it at Kathy's house and be able to spread out and socially distance as we love the Lord. And we'll be doing this for a few more weeks before we get a chance to be back together ourselves, hoping that things work out and that the Lord continues to bless and will allow us to get together starting sometime at the beginning of July. And I'm sure Tony will have more information on that as we get closer to that time. And for this evening, we are going to be in the book of John in the 14th chapter. We're going to do verses 1 through 6. So if you're going to put your finger in there and get that ready to go, let's open this evening with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, you are a good and great God. You are in charge of all things. You know how crazy our world is at the moment and with all the different things going on. But you're still a God who's in control, and none of this takes you by surprise. You love us, you care for us, and you have a plan. You want us to live as you have lived, to love one another and to love you with our whole heart and not to compromise on that. Help us to stand for you, Lord, and help us to sacrifice ourselves for our neighbors and to love them as you've taught us to. Bless the word tonight. Help it to minister to our hearts. And may you be the one who is blessed most of all. Because of the love you've given to us, may we give that back to you. Amen. As I was studying this week, preparing for this, an interesting passage in Psalms came along as well. So before we get into John, I'm going to read Psalm 34. It's a psalm when David was running from Saul for his life. He had run, amazingly enough, back toward Gath. And you might know that that is where Goliath was from. So he ends up heading back in that direction, and they see him coming. And they say, there's the man. Who is Saul's servant. That is David. That's the one who said he slew his 10,000s while Saul has slain his thousands. And as he comes closer, David becomes afraid. David decides, maybe I don't want to go in this direction. And he acts crazy as they start to bring him in toward the king. Starts foaming at the mouth and scratching at the door. And the king says, I have enough crazy men. I don't need him here. And they cast him away. So this is a psalm of David when he feigned his madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. And these are the words that David had to say after he left that place, left the place of being worried about his own life. And it's just interesting how the Lord secured him at this time. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And we do have enough fears right now with all the different things going on. You know, and I just pray that the Lord would do, you know, as he did for David, and take those away. They looked to him, and they were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want, there is no need. Just as we read in Psalm 23, at the beginning of that verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For those who fear in him, there is no want, there is no need. The young lions do lack, and they suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut them off and even the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all, and he will keep his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteousness will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And that's Psalms 34. And such an encouraging passage in these crazy times that we are dwelling in. And I just look forward to God giving me that peace, the Lord showing that he protects us and that he's with us through it all, and that it's not going to destroy us. It's going to lead us into relationship with him. And that's where we want to be, is in relationship with our Lord and our God. Be careful what we say, it says. Be careful how we speak. And get away from evil. And those are good things that whole passage teaches us and encourages us this evening. And that psalm is just one that encouraged me and actually led me to the verses here in John 14 about how God takes care of us. And just to set things up this evening, as we're getting into John, I know it's a little bit different than Malachi, so we're back into the New Testament, and from Psalms right now. We'll get into the New Testament, and this is where Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room. In the book of John, first chapters 13 through, I think it's 17, you know, is the upper room discourse, where it talks about all the different things that Jesus was saying to his disciples on the eve before his execution on the cross, and the things that he said to them. He's been preparing them that he is going to die, and that where he is going, they can't go. But in the same light, he also told Judas to go do what he needed to do. And Judas, at this point, has left the upper room, and so it's Jesus with the 11 disciples, and he's told Peter, "You're going to deny me 3 times this evening. You know, you said that you're not going to leave me, but you will." He says, "Where I am going, you cannot come." But then he also gives them words of encouragement. The words of encouragement he gives to his disciples here in John 14, 1 through 6. And I'll read those, and then we'll get a chance to go through them together. But first, I'd like to read that. So if you haven't turned in your Bibles, turn your Bibles to John 14, 1 through 6. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And those are the words of Christ. And, you know, this whole passage is an encouragement of what God says to us in a troubled time. And for the disciples, this is one of the most troubling times you could have. They gave up all they had to follow Jesus. They gave up their lives, their careers, to follow him. He was going to be the Messiah. He was going to be the one to lead them. They've been arguing about who's going to sit at his right hand when he takes the throne and when he leads Israel. They did not understand that he was, as Isaiah 53, the suffering saint, the one who was going to be the lamb who was going to be slaughtered, the lamb who had to die for our sins so that we could have relationship with the Lord. His words of encouragement start off very simply. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. You've told us that you're leaving. You've told us that you are going to die. We followed you all this time. Now what are we going to do with ourselves? You know, he's warned them that they're going to scatter. He's warned them that they can't follow him where he is going. He's told Peter, you're going to deny me. And they've been told that one of them is going to turn against him and turn him in. And that is Judas. He's told them all these things. Their hearts are troubled. Their hearts are having problems. He says, no, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. He's putting things back in perspective about where they should be. Instead of being worried about where they're going to sit in the kingdom of heaven, in Jesus' kingdom, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. He takes them back to the Father. And believe also in me. Believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. The Bible does show that Jesus is the Son of God. And he even says that in these first couple of verses. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. God is his Father. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. And in some places it said mansions. But dwelling places, I think it's a much better translation, because in my Father's house, we are going to live in the Father's house. We're not going to live in mansions 30 miles away on the outskirts of town because we didn't behave properly while we were here on earth. We get to live in the Father's house. We get to live with the Father. We get to live with Jesus Christ himself. He's creating us a place. He's gone there and he's preparing us a place. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Enough for all 11 disciples. Enough for all of us. Enough for everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus. But the only ones who get to enter in are the ones who can call him Father and call him friend. If you've given your life to Jesus, that's what he has done for us. He's given us a place to be with him forever. We get a place to live. We get a place to dine with him and sup with him in the morning when you wake up. We get to go to the table and have breakfast with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ himself. We get to leave our dwelling place and join him in those things. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. So we get to go. He's preparing a place for us. In the next verse he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And he's talking to each of us as we follow him. He has not forgotten us. He has not left us here alone to our own devices. Yes, we may suffer, but we know that what we have in store for us is even better, because Christ has gone to prepare that for us. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to live with us now so that we can endure what we're going through. We're not going to suffer want like the lions that we read about, the young lions who were in want. We are his children. You can't outgive God. God is the one who's going to always supply our needs. Keep giving and keep loving one another. That's what Christ would want us to do. That's what Christ tells us to do. In the next verses, he's saying, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We will be reunited with Christ, not just in the Holy Spirit living in us. We get to physically be with Christ. There's not hardly a man on earth, I don't know of one, who's had a chance to meet Jesus face to face. We get that opportunity, for he is coming back. And he's going to take us to himself, that we get to be with him in heaven. And he is coming back, just as he has promised in 2 Thessalonians. He's going to be coming back on the clouds, just as he promised in the book of Acts. As you saw Jesus go up into heaven, so he will come down. He will call those who believe to himself. That's you and me who believe in him. If you don't believe in him tonight, you can. And you can be with Christ. You can be with him. You can be with us. Because Christ has called us to come home to him. So we have that hope in the future. And how do we get there? Is it something that we can earn? Is it something that we can do by our acts and our goodness? Is it by giving some money to the people we see on TV when they have the telethon? Is it giving to the man on the corner who's begging for money? It's loving one another. It's not just giving to get to heaven. It's giving because Jesus is in us and he will supply our needs. When he tells you to give, give. You don't have to worry about where our next meal comes from, for it comes from the Lord. For with Elijah, when he was in the Old Testament, he went to the widow and the Lord supplied. All she had was enough food for one meal, and it lasted over 2 years while a drought went on. The Lord provides. So do not be afraid that the Lord is not going to provide in our circumstances. But look for his provision and how he is going to bring it to us. But if I go to a prayer place for you, I will come again. Jesus says, I will come again. And we've heard that promise in the book of Revelation. We've heard that promise many times from the Lord. I will come again. But if he said that 2,000 years ago, how much more is that true today, and how much closer are we to being able to be with him? And as I get older, and that's one thing I've done as I've gotten older, I'm not 25 years old anymore, which is a blessing, because I'm so much closer to being with Jesus forever. And he is going to come back again, and he's going to receive us to himself, that where he is, we will also be with him. And Jesus says, and you know where I am going. Where is Jesus going? The disciples weren't quite sure where I am going, because just a few verses before he says, where I'm going, you can't go. Well, we can't go to the cross. We are not, we can't pay for our own sins. We are not righteous in and of ourselves. Christ is the only one who is righteous. Christ is the only one who is a worthy sacrifice. We can't even sacrifice ourselves, for we are not worthy. Christ, the sinless one, the sinless lamb who was slain. Our sins were laid upon him so that we could have that. So we could not go to the cross, but we could take up our cross and follow him. That's what he calls us to do. That's what he called the disciples to do. Follow me is what he called them to do, each of them. He says, follow me. And they gave it up. And that's the one thing that they were struggling with. They gave up all to follow Christ. What have we given up to follow Christ? Some of us, we had to give up some of the relationships with our old friends. Some of us had to give up relationships with members of our family because we love Jesus. And you've decided to follow Him. But those sacrifices are minor. For eternity, we get to be with Jesus. And we still have that opportunity to share with those that we love. I have the opportunity to share with you tonight. But there's no other message that I have for my children and for anyone else is that we can repent tonight because we know where the Lord has gone and we know that He is coming back. Repent of your sin. Invite Jesus into your heart and follow Him. And for eternity, you'll get to be with Him and salvation will come. And the God who loves us so much will give that to us. That's His promise. And Jesus has said, "And you know where I am going." And the disciples were kind of confused. We might be kind of confused. Where are you going? That, you know, how do we know the way? How do we know how to get to heaven? How do we earn that? Do we earn it by selling all that we have? Do we earn it, you know, by volunteering at a soup kitchen? Well, what is it that we have to do to get to heaven? That's what the disciples are asking. That's what Christians can ask at times. What do we have to do to be saved? All we have to do to be saved is trust in Jesus. For in Acts 4:12, it says there is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved except that of the Lord Jesus. That is the only salvation that there is. And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how do we know the way?" The Lord has been preparing them for almost 3 years that He's going to be leaving. He's told them, you know, at the very beginning of His ministry in John 2, you know, when they were walking by the temple, that the temple was going to be torn down and that in 3 days it would be built up. And He wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about His body and that He would be raised from the dead. The disciples were so confused because they were expecting, as the Jewish leaders had taught them, that the Messiah was going to come and take charge and be a king on this earth and lead Israel to lead the world. But that's not what the Christ came for. Christ had to come first to reconcile us to Himself. For we have fallen so far away in our sin. Lord, we do not know where you're going, and we do not know the way. Very true. We don't know how to get to Jesus on our own. We don't know how to get to heaven on our own. There is no way to earn your way to heaven. There is no stairway to heaven. You know, no matter what Led Zeppelin would say, there is no stairway to heaven. There is no way to get there except through Jesus Christ and Him alone. There is salvation in no other name. I just wish that all the people who cannot see the face of Jesus, who do not know what it's like to be saved from their sin and to be reconciled to God. How lonely life is. And how many people have trouble and mental problems because they don't know the way to heaven. They don't know how to reconcile their sinfulness with what they want to do. Because we want to be good. We want to love, and yet we end up being sinful and prideful and seeking our own way. It's Jesus Christ that is salvation. It is Jesus Christ who died upon the cross. And without Him dying upon that cross a few days after He said these words, and without Him going into hell and being raised again, there is no salvation for us. For there is one perfect Lamb who was slain for us. And the only atonement we have is through Him and through His blood. When we stand before God, it's not because of our righteousness that we get to heaven. It's because of what Jesus has done. And that's what he tells us in the next few verses. And that's what we really hold our faith and our truth and our lives upon. This is what our lives are about as Christians. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. There's no way to the Father. There's no way to heaven except through Jesus. There's lots of religions and lots of people say they have a way and they'll point you to it and you have to earn your way there and only certain people can get there. But God says all are welcome. Bow your knee. Repent of your sin. And follow Jesus. The only way to the Father is through Him. In Revelations 21, 3 and 4, He says, He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death and no more sorrow and no more crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. When Jesus comes back, that is what He's going to do for us. He's going to wipe away those tears. The ones that we have for the loved ones that have already gone to see Him. The ones for the loved ones that are not following Him right now. They still have that opportunity. We still have the opportunity to share with them. Do not give up. Do not give up hope. Prayer is a mighty and strong thing. It draws us into a relationship with God, and we make our pleas known to Him, and He hears them. And He will act upon them. But He does not make any man follow Him. That's why He's given us a choice to receive the gift that He has given through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I ask you tonight, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, tonight is the night to receive Him. Give your life to Jesus. For there is no other way. There is no other truth. You can seek truth in books. You can seek truth in knowledge, in a college degree. You can seek it, through experience. Even Pilate was asking what is truth. Jesus is truth. He was standing before Him. He says, I am the way. Basically, He says, I am the truth. I am the life. The truth is, Jesus is the Son of the living God, the one who is true and holy and righteous, the one who offers Himself up as a sacrifice for us and for our sinful life. Repent of your sin, follow after Him, and become like Him. Let us do His commands. Let us repent as we sin, and we do the things that we don't want to do. And let's keep following after Him. For no one comes to the Father but through me. There is salvation in no other name. You can't come to God through Buddha. You can't come to God through any man. It's only through the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, the Savior of the world. And in these troubling times, that is our message to a troubled world. At the beginning of our passage, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Let's believe in Jesus. We have a message to the world to give right now, to a troubled world, to a dying world, to those who will die in their sin and be separated with God forever. We have an opportunity to share with them in this troubled world. And if you believe in God, believe also in the Son of God. Believe in Jesus Christ. He has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. And how great that is. He's had 2,000 years. He's adding rooms on into the house of God. The Lord built a house of God, the temple in Jerusalem, for them to worship God, which is just a mirror of what the dwelling place in heaven is going to be like. That's the Father's house that we get to be with in heaven. It's going to be a holy place. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more dying. We won't have to fight our flesh anymore. What a joy that will be when we don't have to fight against this body of flesh. And if it were not so, I would have told you, said Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place. If I go to prepare a place, I'm going to come again to receive you to myself. He wants to be with you. He wants to hug, to hold you, to tell you it's going to be okay, to let you know that he will be there also. And you know the way and where I am going. For those that believe in him, we know the way. And it's our job to be sharing that. And I pray that as we go this week, as we leave our time together, that we'll have an opportunity to share this message with many this week. Whether they be in our family, whether they be people we just discuss with, people at the store, or, you know, we don't get to socially be involved with as many people, but we get to be involved with people online. And people are so concerned about defunding the police and all the other things that are going on. We can let them know that our God cares for every life that there is, and that he's gone to prepare a place for them and for me. Lord, we don't know the way and where you're going, says Thomas. That's the question the world has. That's the question that believers have. And we can encourage both with this word that we've heard this evening. And I do pray that as we go out this week, we can say to them, just as Jesus said, we can tell them that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth and the life. And that no one else can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And I pray in this coming week that we can have that opportunity to share with others. But let us also be built up in the Word. Let's spend some time in the Word and spend time praying. If you haven't had time to get online and be with somebody and encourage them to pray, do that. Call them up on the phone. Can we pray together today? Can I be with you on the phone? Can you pray for me? I have a need. If you have a need, call a friend. Call a person that you trust. Call another believer. And that's what the body of Christ is for. You can call myself. You can call Roger. You can call Nancy. You can call Lisa. There are people that will pray with you at any moment and any time. We love you and we care for you. That's what being a body is. Calvary Fellowship Monument is not a building. Calvary Fellowship Monument is not just Tony and his family. Calvary Fellowship Monument is all the believers who love Jesus Christ, and where we're bound together in his body, and we get to commune one with another. That is what makes us a body. And I pray that we reach out to one another and encourage one another this week as we go. I'd like to end this week with a word of prayer. It's a little bit quicker than I was planning on, but I hope the words resonate, and I hope it walks with us this week as we go forward, and that we realize that Christ has gone to a place to prepare us a dwelling place in heaven, in his Father's house. We're going to be in the Father's house with Jesus Christ himself, not down the road, not in a shack up on a hill 30 miles away where we have to walk in to see the glory of God. We will be there with the glory of God that lights heaven. Heavenly Father, I pray this evening that your word goes strong into our hearts, and that your Holy Spirit will minister to us, that you will be with us, that you will take our troubled minds, and that you will relax them. Lord, that you'll take our troubled hearts as we see many disturbing things, that you will let us have peace in knowing that you are the way and the truth and the life. Lord, and that you have gone to heaven to prepare a place for us, and we can be confident that we're going to be there with you. And for anyone who might not have had Jesus as their Lord before, I pray that you'd pray also. Just pray with me and say, Lord, I repent of my sins. Fill me. Help me to follow you by the power of your Spirit. Be with me today, because I know there's salvation in no one else but you, Jesus. I put my trust in you today, and I want to follow you. Amen. And with those words, we don't have to be fancy with our words when we pray with one another. When you're sharing Jesus with one another, you don't have to have a spiritual laws book. You don't have to have it all memorized and written down that this is the way it's going to go. Let the word of Christ, which is in you, be shared one with another to call others unto himself. Have a great week. I pray that the Lord is with you and be with you strong. Thanks a lot. Good night. Oh, and stay tuned. Ivan will have some worship music to go along with the passages we have read this evening. And thank you, Ivan, for all you've done for us in these interesting times of COVID as well. And I pray that the music will be as a ministry as it has been the past few weeks, and let it uplift us as we dwell upon the Word of God. And please ponder what the Lord has given us through John 14:1-6 this evening. God bless you all. Good night.